And I want to read verses 10 through verse 18. And I want to preach a message today dealing with the forgotten piece of armor. The forgotten piece of armor. So we notice as we read, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Ephesians deals, as a book, it deals with salvation, and it deals with a changed life and maturing in the faith. Chapters 1 through 3 primarily dealing with salvation and the idea of salvation. 4 through 6, it shows that salvation changes lives. And it tells Christians, look, put off the old man, put on the new man. But understanding, as we get to this final chapter of the book, understanding that the devil's against us. And he has tricks. It calls them wiles that are here. And the passage deals with the reality of a battle in the spiritual realm. You think, sometimes we think, oh, that's the enemy, or that's the enemy. And we're looking at physical things. What we don't understand often, or we fail to understand, or we fail to remember, is that behind all of those things, there's spiritual warfare going on. And he points out, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Your neighbor's not your enemy. Your coworker is not your enemy. Even if we look at it in some way, you know, it's not another country that's our enemy. It's understanding the true enemy is the devil and the devils that followed him, and understanding that they are always influencing people. It is the devil's goal to blind people who are not yet saved so that they won't get saved. It is the devil's goal to trick and pull back into sin those who are saved. And the devil is constantly working and battling. And besides that, we've got our own flesh to battle, which is a spiritual battle. And so we need to remember that. Let's pray and seek the Lord's help for the message. Father, as we look at this battle, this warfare that we are in, God, I pray that you would help us, as you said in the book of Timothy, to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that we would earnestly contend for the faith. Father, I pray that you would help us to be strong in the power of your might. God, I pray that as we live in this world, that we would understand that we cannot be dependent upon our own flesh, for we are weak. God, I ask for your help. I ask for your guidance. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. So there is, on with this battle, there is the Lord and his power, and there is the devil and his wiles and spiritual wickedness. And because of this, we are to take up the armor. And those armor pieces are listed out there, and it says that we are to take, having our loins girt about with truth. Truth is a piece of the armor. It talks about the breastplate of righteousness, and righteousness is a piece of that armor. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, witnessing, telling people about the Lord, giving the gospel, sharing the gospel is a piece of that armor. The shield of faith, well, faith is a big piece of that armor and that protection. And it talks about the helmet of salvation. You haven't even begun to get dressed in the armor of God if you're not saved. And we need to be saved. That is first and foremost. And if you're here today or you're listening and you have not got the matter of your eternal salvation settled, You don't go anywhere in this spiritual battle without having the head protected, without having that key element of salvation. Salvation coming when a person realizes I'm a sinner on my way to hell, realizes Jesus is the only answer. He died on the cross as the substitute for my sin. He died for me. He took my place so that I don't have to die. I can have eternal life through Jesus Christ. And we call out seeking Jesus to save us. And then we have the weapon, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So you take all of those things and you get them on. And let me ask you, are you now ready for battle? The answer is not quite yet. I want you to picture in your mind, there's all kinds of things being invented today. I want you to picture in your mind a person who gets into a battle suit. Or in the event of maybe a paralyzed person and they get these exoskeletons that they put on them now and they can be controlled with the brain to move those legs. And basically that exoskeleton is moving for them and people are able to function. And these things are being developed. But you can put on the suit. What does the suit have to have? A power source. Can you imagine being in the suit, it's all ready for battle, and there's no battery? What has just happened? You are fully dressed, and you can't move that thing. It doesn't function. And we need all of the armor of God, but the power source, verse 18, and I would call this the forgotten piece of armor, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. You can get every piece of the armor and you can say, I am ready. And if we don't have God's power source, we're done. We don't go anywhere without God's power. And so when he starts it out in verse 10 and says, finally, my brethren, be strong, what? In the Lord. See, we like to think of ourselves, oh yeah, I'm strong. I'm spiritually strong. He doesn't say for you to be strong. He says for you to be strong in the Lord, realizing where the power comes from to live the Christian life. It is not just a matter of, well, I can do this. I have discipline. I have self-control. I have this, that, and another. It is a matter of realizing I need God if I'm going to please God. And he says, and in the power of whose might? His might. Look, do any of us truly think that if the devil showed up, we could go hand-to-hand battle? Do we realize the strength on the spiritual side of this? We are so minute in this battle. And so when we go to battle, we need to go to battle in the power of his might. So we need, first of all, to remember whose might we need. And that is the first point, is remembering, I can't do this. Whose might do I need? Look, I don't need my mom and dad's might. I don't need, the deacon's might. We don't need the might of Ottumwa Baptist Temple. We need the might of God Almighty if we're going to battle in this battle. And Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 19 says this. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 19 and says, what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power? Look, is the power there? Yes. How do you turn it on? Pray. Access God. You know, I can have, well, just a moment ago, I started to speak and I realized there was no power on. This mic had been muted and this one had two fresh batteries. I just put them in. but I had to push the power button. So I pulled it out, and I pushed the power button, and all of a sudden, you can hear through the speakers, which help out. Well, look at it. Verse 19, again, what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power? You know, you've got the believer in the center, and power on the front side, and power on the back side, and that's God's power, and I can't do it without Him. We aren't going to change a life. Really? You know, how many lives are changed through therapy, through counseling, through all of these things? You know, they have all of these programs. And what it is, all of these programs out there in the world, they are people trying to solve people's problems. God has the answer. And what changes lives? Prayer. Notice again, verse 18 of chapter 6. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. It's like pray, pray, keep praying, keep persevering in prayer, watch in prayer. We need to pray. We need God's power source for all the rest of the armor that we have on to be effective. Go to Ephesians chapter 3, verse number 16. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 16. That He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. So what do we need? Boy, okay, literally all of the pieces of armor that we put on are external, right? The truth, you know, it's something we hold on to. Witnessing is external. Salvation is something that takes place on the internal, but it's described as a helmet of salvation. But He says, look, we need God's power in the inner man. We aren't going to get very far trying to do the work of God in the power of the outer man. We need God's power in our inner man. I'll just read to you Colossians chapter 1, verse 11. It says, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness. Where does patience come from? It's God. Where does longsuffering with joyfulness come from? Now, a lot of people suffer long. But the ability to suffer along with joy, where does that come from? That comes from God. It's God's power. It's God's working in the inner man. And how do we get that? We have to be in communication with God, and that is coming through prayer. We need God. And prayer is the access to God. Prayer is what opens up the door to God's power. And so the Bible tells us praying always. So we remember whose might we need. That's the first step. When we remember I'm weak, He's strong, it's easy to ask. We get all prideful in our heart, we stop praying. We think, I can do this, I can do this ministry. No, you can't. I can preach this message. Nuh-uh. You may be able to physically do it. But the spiritual power behind it comes from God. Well, I can talk to this person about the Lord. Sure, you can physically talk, but if the heart is going to be changed, it's going to be God's heart. You can talk about and to somebody till you're blue in the face, and until God does a work in their heart and they allow God to work in their heart, nothing's going to happen. So we need to pray. You know somebody that's lost? By all means, witness to them and pray. Pray for their soul. Pray that God will prick their heart. Pray that God will prick it again. You know somebody that's backslidden? Pray. Pray that God will wake them up. They're saved. The Holy Spirit of God's in their heart. They're just backslidden. But pray that the Holy Spirit would keep on knocking on the door and keep on pricking the heart and make it hard for them to kick against the pricks. Pray for somebody. Pray, pray, pray that God will change lives. We need to be praying. The example of Peter is found in Luke chapter 22. We're going to go a little bit back and forth between Luke 22 and Matthew 26. So Luke 22, if you want to get right away, Matthew 26, look at these verses. Luke 22, 31 through 34. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that you is all of the apostles. Satan hath desired to have you, it's plural. And he's talking, Simon, look, all of you are in danger. Satan wants all of you that he may shift you as wheat. Verse 32, but I have prayed for thee. Very specifically, he says, I've prayed for you, singular, thee. I've prayed for thee, singular, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Now notice Peter's answer here. He says, I've got this. I'm ready. He says, and he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. Peter, I'm ready. I've got this. I am spiritually strong. The devil can't tempt me. I'll stand when no one else stands. And he said, Jesus saying, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. Now I want to ask you something. Was that set in stone? Did Peter have a choice? Absolutely. And we find that in prayer. Notice, jump down a little bit, Luke 22, verse 39. And he came out and went, as he was wont, to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, what's he saying? Pray that ye enter not into temptation. Who's he talking to? These disciples that Peter, that Satan wants to sift. Does Peter have to deny Jesus Christ? No. But Peter, on his own strength, is going to deny Jesus Christ. And Jesus says to him, Peter, pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou wilt be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel from heaven, what? Strengthening him. Jesus was plugging into the power source. I understand Jesus was God, but Jesus is going to go to that cross as a man. Jesus is going to deal with all of that physical pain as a man. And he is saying, I need God's strength. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them what? Sleeping for sorrow. Whose sorrow? Jesus' sorrow. Now let me ask you, just from what we've read so far, at the end of that day, who's going to have victory and who's not? Jesus is going to have victory. And who's not? The disciples and Peter. And he said to them, why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. He knows the temptation that's coming. Verse 46 and 47. And while he yet spake, behold, a multitude, and he was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them and drew near unto Jesus to kiss him. Now jump with me. Hold your place here. We're coming back. Matthew 26, 41 through 45. You compare these. This event happened twice. It wasn't just a one time, once over. Verse 41, Matthew 26 says, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. We get a few more words added in here. We get by comparing the Gospels, we get a bigger picture, the more full story. Was Peter willing to stand for Christ? Sure. What was weak? His flesh. the very thing he was depending on was weak. Verse 42, he went away again the second time and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass from me except I drink it, thy will be done." And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith to them, "Sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hand of sinners." Okay, you're going to sleep? Sleep. You know what? Jesus doesn't make us pray. He does not force us to pray. They had the option. He had the option. Jesus prayed, and guess what? An angel of God showed up and strengthened him and encouraged him. The disciples are sleeping. They're going to go into this evening, the betrayal evening, with no power from God. Do they know the truth? Yeah, they know the truth. Do they have salvation? Sure. Do they have a shield available to them, the faith? Yeah. But none of it has any power, because they're lacking that power. Luke 22, 54. Back to Luke 22, verse 54. Then took they him and led him and brought him into the high priest's house, and Peter followed where? Afar off. Why? He's scared. Why is he scared? He slept through prayer meeting. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were sat down together, Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire, earnestly looked on him. I mean, she's studying him. I think I know this guy. And she's looking, and here's what she says. "This man was also with him. And he," what? "Denied him, saying, 'Woman, I know him not.'" Was that the truth? You know what he just lost? Another piece of the armor. Why'd he lose it? Because he hadn't prayed. And after a little while, another saw him and said, "Thou art also of them." And Peter said, "Man, I am not." And about the space of 1 hour, after another confidently affirmed, saying, "Of a truth, this fellow was also with him, for he is a Galilean." And Peter said, "Man, I know not what thou sayest." And immediately, while he yet spake, and the cock crew, there's another gospel that he threw in a cuss word. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, "Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." And Peter went out and wept bitterly. Peter had the option that day of having victory. And instead of victory, he's weeping. Instead of gloriously rejoicing and saying, "I had three opportunities tonight to talk about Jesus." But see, he didn't witness to any one of those three people. He lost another piece of the armor. Why? Because he hadn't prayed. Now let me show you the difference. Acts chapter 12. Acts chapter 12, we go to another Bible example. Acts chapter number 12 and verse 1 through 12. "Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people." So he puts him in there with a lot of soldiers Peter therefore was kept in prison, but what? Prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Now, what do you think is going to happen? You think there's going to be some victory? Jesus prayed, he had victory. The disciples didn't pray, they didn't have victory. The church is praying. What do you expect to happen? Victory. Prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains, and the keeper before the door kept the prison. Is this a hopeless situation? Physically speaking. Hey, where are you at now, Peter? Now Peter's sleeping. You know, Peter has, since that denial, Peter has gotten right with God. He's been used of God. He finds himself in this place and he can sleep. Would have probably been a good idea for Peter to be praying. Maybe he had prayed and then just went to sleep, finding that peace that is there. I don't know. But while he's sleeping, he's chained to two guards. There's a prison door. There's a guard on the other side of the prison door. And tomorrow he's supposed to be executed. And the church is praying. Verse 7, behold, the angel of the Lord came. Now, who came to Jesus to strengthen him when he prayed? See, I think there's an entire world out there, remember, that we don't see. When it says we wrestle not against principalities and power, or against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, and all of that stuff. See, Peter's there. Who shows up? An angel. Who saw the angel? Just Peter. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. And he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise up quickly. And his chains fell off from his hands. Now notice, nobody else is waking up. Chains are gone. How'd that happen? God showed up. And the angel said unto him, gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he said unto him, cast thy garment about thee and follow me. And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true, which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. When they were past the first and second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. Now when Peter was come to himself, he said, now know I of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from the expectation of the people of the Jews. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together, what? Praying. In an upcoming letter, and I'm not going to mention the name for sake of being live, but there's an upcoming letter that we'll read. There's a missionary that's in a country that doesn't have the best relations right now with the United States of America, and all of a sudden, we're not renewing your student visa at the end of June. You know what he asked for? He says, pray. Pray. Can God change the hearts of government leaders? Yes. Does he understand that if he's going to get it, it's going to have to come from God? Yes. And he calls out and he says, pray! So we see here, look, praying always. You got temptation? Pray. But it says, pray lest ye enter into temptation. You need to pray before. Oftentimes, boy, you haven't prayed in the morning. You haven't gotten with God in the morning. Temptation comes along. You're not prepared. You may have the suit of armor on, but you haven't got the power. and you won't live for God, and you won't make the right choices, and you will fall into sin because you're not abiding in Christ. You haven't had communication with Christ. You're not with Christ. You're not plugged into the power source, the God Almighty. The idea there in Ephesians is that that prayer is persevering. Without turning there, Jesus gave two clear parables on persevering prayer. One was the loaves. He said a man came at midnight and he said, "Hey, I need three loaves." And the guy says, "I'm asleep. My kids are asleep. Go away." And he's knocking and he's knocking and he's knocking and he's knocking. And finally, he's like, "Okay, here. Take the three loaves, be gone." And he says, pray with perseverance. Keep you got something that you need from God? Pray! And pray, and pray, and pray, and pray, and don't give up. I wonder how many times we give up when God's just about ready to answer. The other parable was a parable of an unjust judge and a widow woman going to the judge saying, "Would you hear my cause?" And the judge says, "No, be away with you." She comes back, "Would you hear my cause today? And would you hear my cause today? And would you hear my cause today?" And finally, he's like, "Okay, get this woman off my back." And he's not saying that God's an unjust judge. He's just saying you've got to keep at it. You keep on praying and praying and praying. I am absolutely convinced that Tony Burden is saved today because of prayer. I am so glad that Ricky is sitting here today, and I know it's because of prayer. And we look at these things and we know God can work and God helps us and God deals with us, but we need to pray. Persevering prayer. Philippians 4:6 says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." God, I've got a request. God, I've got a need. See, we live in this country where we think we can solve it all. I've got a financial need. I can work a few more hours. Why don't we go to God? Now, there's nothing wrong with work. Go to work. But we need to go to God and pray and pray and pray. He says about everything. And don't forget to be thankful. God loves thankfulness. God loves thankfulness. Colossians 4:2 says, "Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving." See, prayer and thanksgiving are tied together so many times in the Bible, you can't get away from it. As we pray, we need to thank God for all the good things He's done. And then pray, because He's got more good things to do. Pray! 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Pray! Without ceasing. 2 Timothy 1:3. You know, it doesn't. Church of Philippi, pray. Church of Colossae, pray. 1 Thessalonians, Church of Thessalonica, pray. Timothy, you're a young preacher boy, pray. He says, "I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day." Here he's saying, Timothy, I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you. We need this. And so often, we know the Word of God. We get, well, you know, we can live by faith. We've got the truth. We may even be out witnessing. And the question is, are we praying? Are we praying? Do you pray? Pray for victory over sin. So I can beat this. Have you yet? Pray. Pray for direction. God, I need wisdom. I need direction. What do you want me to do about this? What's the answer here? God, guide me. God, help me. Pray for lost people to be saved. Pray. Get them the Word of God as much as possible, because the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. But boy, pray. Pray for the right words to say. Pray for the right time to say them. Pray that the Word of God will work. Pray that the Holy Spirit will prick their heart. Pray for lost people to be saved. Pray for saved people to live for God. You know, don't take for granted and just think that, oh, everybody here is in church, they'll be here next week. There are a whole lot that go the wrong way. And we need to pray for one another. Pray for Evan as he goes to Wisconsin. We need to be in church. It's important. Pray. Pray for health. Can God do that? Look, if God can drop the chains off of Peter while he's sleeping between two guards, wake Peter up, open all the doors, and nobody else knows what's going on, do you think God can maybe help us physically? The doctor says, I don't have a clue. Pray. Pray. Pray for daily needs. Well, I've got that all taken care of. No, you don't. God says to pray, saying, give us this day our daily bread. You've got needs that may come up. You don't even know that they're coming. So, well, I've got my emergency fund, and I've got this, and I've got that, and I'm all set. Don't we think we're big stuff sometimes, don't we? God, give me this day my daily bread. And tomorrow, ask God, God, meet my needs today. So, well, I've got it covered. No. God says to ask. So we should ask. Pray for prodigals to return. We all know some prodigals. Sure. Pray. Can God, look, did the prodigal son return? Can God bring them to the bottom of the barrel so that they, basically the only place they got to look is up? Pray, pray, pray. We need God's help. And the thing about it is we can preach on prayer. We can read the Bible on prayer. We can know that it's factually about prayer. There are books and books written on prayer. You know what the greatest learning tool for prayer is? Pray. Just pray. Just talk to God. The more we talk to God, the more we'll want to talk to God. The more we talk to God, the more we abide with Him. The more He works. When we see Him work, it gets exciting to see what else He's going to do. And we want to pray more. But the less we pray, the less we want to pray. We need God. We need God's help. I don't know this morning whether everyone's saved. And boy, if you're not, you need that helmet of salvation. But I know this. He gets to the end. He says, here's the situation. The devil's got wiles and the devil's got tricks. And we need the armor of God. But that armor is powered by prayer. And so let's pray. Pray for me. The messages that I preach will help you more if you pray for them. Just a fact. Pray. Let's stand to our feet. Father, as we come to the invitation, God, I don't know that everyone here is saved or not. I pray that you would prick hearts. God, that you would bring those that are lost to you. God, I pray that then all that are saved, as Jesus said to Peter and the disciples again and again and again, watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. God, I pray that we would take those words the words that you inspired the Apostle Paul to write down for each of those churches. God, help us to not be so prideful as to think that we don't need to pray. God, help us to pray. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you've got something to come and pray about this morning, I'd encourage you to come. Maybe you need to come talk to the Lord. Say, I haven't been praying the way that I need. Pray. None of us will be what we ought to be for the Lord if we're not praying. Thing about it is God's up there with all the power and he wants to actually help us, but he wants to hear us.